Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, Chuck and Winkler, two townies talking Wisconsin sports, covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Good morning, everybody.
I'm Ryan Horvath. That's Chuck Freeman. It's Chuck and Winkler here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, as well as the radio.com app, 414-799-1250. Get in touch with the show on Twitter as well, at 105.7 FM, The Fan, and on Facebook, Instagram, all those fun social media sites you could find us at. You could find me at Ryan Horvath, him at Chuck Freeman, and our buddy Bart Winkler, who will be in here shortly at Winks Thinks. Bart, a new dad. With being a new dad, sometimes you got to do some dad business and take care of some things at home. So he's on his way to the studio right now. Chuck, how you doing today, buddy?
He'll be here in a little bit. Yeah, you know, you're correct. This is the best time of the year. And not only with all the football, the basketball kicking up, and if you're a hockey fan, you know, that's just underway as well. College basketball's right around the corner. You know, the polls are out and all that, and we'll be starting here in the next couple of weeks. This is a terrific time of the year. And once you get to Thanksgiving, you got some huge games Thanksgiving weekend. The NFL, not that these games don't mean anything, but you get the Thanksgiving weekend. You got football throughout the weekend with the NFL and the NBA as well. It's just that this is the next couple of months, man. Outstanding time in sports.
It really is. I got the NBA League Pass. I kind of bounce back every year. Some years I'll get it and I'll write it off as a tax return, which is always nice. And some years I'll say, I got the Bucks. I'm not going to watch other teams. And I'm either going to be at the Pfizer Forum or I'm going to be watching the Bucks at home. And then if the Bucks are off, then I'm probably going to do something with the family or watch football, you know, and maybe just take a night off of sports. But this year I had to do it just because there's more parity in the NBA this year than there's ever been. This is going to be the best year of basketball that I can remember in the last decade because every team, like, it's all up for grabs. You don't know who's going to win the title. Not that you ever do, but for the last, 4 or 5 years, we've always said it's going to be LeBron James versus the Warriors. Last year, everything was kind of up in the air because LeBron went out west to the Lakers, but you still figured, like, the Warriors were going to be in the finals. Now, like, you don't know who's any good yet. I mean, the Rockets, they could be the number one seed in the West. They could miss out on the playoffs. The Warriors, you don't even know if they'll make the playoffs. LeBron James and Anthony Davis team up in L.A., and they lose last night. I mean, granted, it's one game. It's an 82-game season, but they lose to the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard continues to look like the best player on the planet. And then we get the Bucks tomorrow night against the Houston Rockets, against James Harden, against Russell Westbrook. And we could be talking about a Bucks team that wins 66 games. We could talk about a Bucks team that maybe rests their guys and does the load management thing and wins 52 games. We have no idea what's going to play out this season.
That NBA package, I'm right there. My finger's like 3 inches away from buy now.
I know.
Where it says buy now, and then all of a sudden your card gets charged $200. Mm-hmm. But I haven't done it yet. But the reason I don't get the package because there's so many games on NBA TV and TNT and ESPN. You know, the good matchups, the good teams you want to see. Because the Bucks are going to be competing against these teams. And most of the time, those teams are on national TV anyway. Or they're going to be on the NBA Network or whatever. You know, watching San Antonio against the New York Knicks. Unless we get some money on the game, you know, that's not a big deal. Or the Bucks are playing them coming up next. But, there's so much going on. I'm excited for the start of the games tomorrow night. The Bucks opening up with a huge team. Obviously, the Rockets, a team that's going to contend for an NBA championship. MVP candidate against MVP candidate. And, this Packer game that's coming up on Sunday, man, against Kansas City. I'm feeling really good about them going in there. Now, the reason why I do, I think the Packers are going to do some damage against that Kansas City defense. I just, what I've seen with the Chiefs defense and what I'm reading about them, I think there's a potential. There's a potential. And you got to get up early in these guys that Rodgers and those guys could just have a field day on that secondary of the Chiefs. And the Packers can go ahead and win. What you don't want to do is you don't want to go to Kansas City, get that crowd fired up where you're on offense, because this is the first time the Packer offense, well, you know, the third time now, but this is the worst, I would say this is the loudest atmosphere they're going to be in. Going in Kansas City, that offense, that new Matt LaFleur offense. And, you know, when you're on offense, the crowd is going wild. Mm-hmm. When you're on the road, it's the first time LaFleur's offense is going to face just an adverse crowd when they go to Kansas City on Sunday night.
Yeah, I'm still really excited for this game. Not as excited as I was, let's say, 2 or 3 weeks ago when I thought we were going to get Aaron Rodgers against Patrick Mahomes, two of the best quarterbacks in the league right now. But I'm still excited. And I'm excited because the offense is finally starting to click. And I don't know how much of that has to do with just you're at home at Lambeau Field and the Raiders. It looked like in the second half they had given up. After the Carr fumble, like, that was the punch in the gut. They were never the same team that day. You know what I mean? And so I want to see if they could continue the success against, as you mentioned, a secondary that has given up a lot of points already this year.
And with the trade, Emmanuel Sanders going to San Francisco, giving up a 3rd and 4th. Denver also, from what I understand, sent a 5th-round pick to San Francisco along with Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah.
So they sent a draft pick back. I get up and I take a short little nap in the afternoon, and I see the same news. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's deflating when you hear about maybe the Packers could be interested in a player, or the Brewers interested in a player, or the Bucks, and when that player goes to a different team. It's always deflating, and it's like, man, we get the news yesterday about Mohamed Sanu going to the Patriots, and then later on in the day, Sanders, the guy who I really like.
Yeah.
You know, coming off a little bit of a recent injury history, but a guy who's really good.
Right.
And his numbers aren't as great as they were a few years ago, but a guy who's definitely worth a 3rd and 4th, and especially if you're getting that 5th-round pick sent back your way.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, like, everybody talks about the injuries. So when you bring up A.J. Green, yeah, he's missed 20 games since 2016, but if he was fully healthy, they wouldn't be looking to move him. Like, if things were going right in Cincinnati and mm-hmm. they're 5-2,
yeah,
you know, or 6-1, then they're not looking to move these guys. If Emmanuel Sanders, or if Denver has a winning record, then they're not looking to move these guys. If things are going right, like, these guys aren't getting packaged. So when we bring up the bad with these guys, I don't know, it just doesn't really bother me. I probably would have traded a 3rd-round pick.
Oh, yeah. And Green, you know, there's some debate whether or not if the team was 0-7, would he be on the field right now?
I think so.
Since they're 0-7.
Just like Jalen Ramsey in the back injury,
yeah,
you know
exactly,
what I mean?
Exactly. Well, Cincinnati travels, they go to England, and they play the Rams on Sunday, noon kickoff. So, but Green, that he hasn't returned yet, and you know he's saying, no, it's not the reason, the record isn't the reason why. I really do have an injury here, and it's bothered me, and it's been bothering him since the beginning of Bengals training camp.
Show sounding good this morning, boys.
Oh, hey,
just
buddy.
Just want to give you a shout out. Show sounding good. The Ryan Horvath pregame show sounding good.
He's 3 for 3.
Chuck and Horvath sounding good here. How you guys doing?
Good. How you doing?
Not good.
Why? Not good.
You guys are both dads, right?
Yeah.
Last time I checked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think,
It gets taken out of my check every month. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely reminded my check is a little light. Yeah.
I don't want to, I'm not going to ever turn this show into a therapy session, at least not about my life. Maybe about sports, but not about my life. This has been the toughest week since we've had the kid. It's just been a tough week.
Yeah.
In every facet, in every area. It's just been a tough week, and this morning it was tough, so here I am.
Well, you made it in. Any insight on why it was tough? Were you running out of diapers?
Oh, no. We've got plenty of diapers. Oh. We got diapers. See, what happened
That'd
was...
That'd be like the worst.
No, we got plenty of diapers.
Then what do you do?
Remember when Sparky threw a baby shower for me?
Yeah, I feel like that was like in spring.
Yeah, that was at the station, and part-timers and interns and unpaid staff, they all chipped in, and they all bought diapers for me and my son. You guys didn't get me anything, but the rest of the station did.
Orby and I were supposed to go in on something, and we just never got around it. You know,
it's in the mail.
What's that?
It's in the mail.
I'll blame that on a bad run betting on baseball in August.
Same here.
Yeah, so, you know, it's being a dad is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, but it's also very hard. And so I appreciate more fatherhood and parenting than maybe I did 11 weeks ago.
It's tough. It's tough when you got to, especially with what we do. I love what we do, but I want to watch every single game. So last night, like, I know that I'm going to be exhausted and tired today, and the Lakers and the Clippers don't tip off until 9:30.
But I didn't make it for the Lakers and the Clippers.
I had to watch a little bit of it.
And what also, too, is you got to get your kid involved early as being a sports fan. Because if you want to watch the game, you know, you got to get that kid involved and into liking sports and seeing things your way. And I'm both my boys, definitely. The girl, not so much, but the boy, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. We got Michael Lombardi coming on today at 7:20. We're going to talk some NFL football. Ryan Wood at 8:35. I'm sorry, not Ryan Wood. Eric Name to talk Bucks basketball at 8:30. Bart, really quick, I know we're going to talk a lot of Packer football, and we're going to start previewing the Bucks today. But last night, you mentioned you didn't get to stay awake for the Lakers and the Clippers. But the first game of the night was the world champion Toronto Raptors taking on the New Orleans Pelicans, and your guy Fred VanVleet went off for 34 points. Did that make you feel any bit better? Like maybe that wasn't a fluke last season. Maybe he is a solid player.
No, it made me feel worse because then the legend of Fred VanVleet always starts in the series against the Bucks. And watching some of that Raptors Pelicans game, it's like they celebrated the championship and now they don't have Kawhi, obviously. It feels like it never happened. It feels like it's all a joke that we're just in on, that the Raptors were the world champions. I watched that game. The Raptors don't feel like they were world champions last year.
Well, I still look back and I think when you talk about the NBA season, who won the championship, I still want to say Golden State won. And then you think, wait, that's right.
I want to say they beat the Cavs in five.
Yeah, because we're so used to that. And then you look back and you think, oh, wait, Toronto did win that series, didn't they? Heavy underdogs. And they were able to win that series after beating the Bucks, but I mean it just seems so recent, man. But yet again, you forget that Toronto did win the NBA championship last year. But I still look at that team and I see and hard to believe they win an NBA championship and then their star ditches for another team who's playing in the late game last night and scores 30 points against the Lakers.
That was the weirdest part of it all, is watching Kawhi go off for 30 points on a different team last night. I mean, it's just the NBA has changed so much. What was cool is before the game on the pregame show, they did like an oral history on free agency and how free agency wasn't around and player empowerment and how Dwayne Wade and LeBron James and Chris Bosh, that was their plan the whole time.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, sure.
Your plan the whole time was that LeBron was worried about his legacy. He was never going to win a ring without getting some help, so he had to go to Miami and team up with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. It had nothing to do with player empowerment. But now it's like the owners and the GMs, they have no say in this. The players pick where they want to play. I don't really think I like that. I don't like Russell Westbrook being to force his way to Houston or Kevin Durant being able to go wherever he wants or Kyrie go wherever he wants.
Free agency is good. I like free agency. When your contract's up, you should be able to go where you want. But now what guys are doing is, before their contract's even close to being up, if you sign a five-year deal, essentially you've signed a three-and-a-half-year deal. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're going to see, we keep talking about Giannis's free agency. He's not a free agent for another two seasons. But this is the season that the Bucks have to get it done for him. Otherwise, yeah, he can force his way out or whatever. So that's the part. I'm all about player empowerment. They are the product. They should be able to do what they want, but they sign these contracts and then now they're not having to live up to that. And it's good, but it went a little too far, I think.
Well, NBA, there's a bunch of games tonight, but the Bucks play like one of the last games of all 30 NBA teams when they played tomorrow night. But you know, 2 weeks ago, I was far away, not interested in the Bucs season starting. I was wrapped up in college football and the NFL. But as we're drawing it closer, I wish the Bucs were playing tonight, man. Just watching a little of the NBA last night, I was like, man, I wish the Bucs were playing tonight.
Well, they're playing on tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
We will talk about it today. Eric Name, 8:35. And again, as Horvat mentioned, Michael Lombardi a little earlier than that at 7:20. We'll talk about all things NFC, specifically your Green Bay Packers. It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We started yesterday with a big trade in the NFL. The Packers were not in on it. There was another trade in the NFL, couple trades in the NFL. Packers not in on either of those as well. We'll talk about that. It's Chuck and Winkler, 799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, AM 1250, and right here on The Fan. Served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Thanks again to Ryan Horvat on the Chuck and Winkler pregame show. New show here on The Fan each and every morning at 5 o'clock. Ryan Horvat, who you will hear plenty of throughout the show. I have to say that as Horvat Nation gets stronger and stronger, and with good reason. You'll hear him plenty throughout the day here on Chuck and Winkler.
Horvat has more airtime than all of us now.
Well, he should.
He does.
Guy's a pro. Chuck and Winkler pregame show every morning starting at 5 with said Ryan Horvat. So we're discussing a bunch of stuff here. As you mentioned, Chuck, this is a good time to be a sports fan with the World Series and the Nationals go up 1-0. You got the NBA starting last night, a couple of nationally televised games. Bucks Rockets on Thursday. We'll talk to Eric Name again. Our friend will join us at 8:35. And then the Packers coming up against the Chiefs here. Yesterday at this point, we were all lamenting that the Patriots sent a second-round pick to the Falcons for Mohamed Sanu, somebody who could have looked good in a Green Bay uniform. The majority of reaction that we saw yesterday, however, was that's too much for Mohamed Sanu. Now, that might just be people talking themselves out of it because the Packers didn't make a deal, whatever. But how about this trade? Denver deals Emmanuel Sanders, a guy who we talked about a lot yesterday because we said, hey, if we can't get Sanu, let's get Sanders. Denver sends Sanders and a fifth-round pick to the Niners for a third and fourth-round pick. So now you're swapping picks, but you're giving up a third and a fourth, and you're getting Emmanuel Sanders in a fifth. I can't think of any Packer fan that would not have wanted to see that happen.
No, I mean, when I look at San Francisco, they didn't get the ball in the end zone this past Sunday against Washington, but you know, the bad weather, and they got three field goals, but in bad weather. Yeah, San Francisco, when I got up from a nap and I saw that, I'm like, and it's frustrating when you see other teams make moves and that for guys that would help your team. He would help the Packers, there's no doubt. And I think giving up a third and fourth and getting a fifth back, okay, and Sanders – I think that's a fair trade for both teams. Sanders wanted out of Denver. Elway was talking yesterday. He said that, you know, that he wanted out. He wanted a change of scenery. And the Broncos wanted to move on from him as well. So that one worked out for everybody. And I'm just curious if the Packers were in on that, if they're even interested in a wide receiver, if they're even dipping their toe in the water for any of these guys, because they should be. They definitely should be, man. There's guys available right now who could help this team. But I'm hoping they're not using the old Ted Thompson theory. Well, we're good with what we got right now.
I'm sure that there's areas of the team that they want to improve upon. And I'm sure that Brian Gutekunst looks at his 53-man roster, and he's got areas that he says we could get better there, we could get better there, we could improve there. I don't know where they feel about wide receiver. I think that when I see these trades happen, when Mohamed Sanu goes for a second, my feeling is, well, maybe the Packers were in on it and maybe the second was too high. But do I know that? No, I don't know that Gutekunst ever made one single call to the Falcons on Mohamed Sanu. I see Emmanuel Sanders dealt. And the Niners, a team that they don't throw the ball as much as the Green Bay Packers do. So they've got a lot of these young kind of receivers, and Sanders is going to be a nice piece for them because he can be some veteran leadership there. Were the Packers in on that? I think a lot. If you showed me every wide receiver and said which one is most likely to be traded to the Packers, I would have said probably Emmanuel Sanders. It felt like that was going to be a good fit.
And on top of that, Bart, he goes to a team you're going to play here in about a month.
Right.
And in addition, a team you're going to compete for the best record in the NFC for home field advantage. So that team that you're competing with just got better as well. So, yeah, the 49ers don't have a great offense. I don't think a hell of a lot of Jimmy Garoppolo, but their defense certainly is terrific, and they've proven it, you know, through six games so far. But, yeah, you definitely don't want to see a team that you're competing against get better like the Niners did yesterday.
You don't think much of Jimmy G?
No, I don't. I've watched him play a few times this year. He's improved a little bit, but that team is based on its offense. That team is got a running game, and it's going to win on power football, and it's going to win on its defense. His defense is really, really good. And I know against last week in Washington, it was raining and it was crappy weather, so the offenses are going to be died down a little bit. The Niners are going to win games with playing great defense.
Niners will be on national TV, too, a couple more times here in the next few weeks. So if you aren't sure about Jimmy Garoppolo or what this Niners team is at 6-0, if they really are good enough to be 6-0, you'll have the opportunity to see that. The trade deadline in the NFL is Tuesday. And now I feel like in the last few years, the trade deadline has become more of a thing in the NFL because trades have become more of a thing in the NFL. Nothing's going to top Major League Baseball's trade deadline. You've got a lot of teams that are willing to sell and need to buy, and you've got these top pitchers going and all these big blockbuster moves. The NBA is right there. Mm-hmm. There's huge trades that come at the deadline. Those days are days. The MLB trade deadline is a day. It's an important day in baseball. A lot happens. We've got all hands on deck for those kind of days. The NBA, same thing. With the NFL, it was like, oh, the trade deadline's tomorrow? Oh, didn't know that. Maybe a safety gets dealt for a seventh-round pick, and that's all you see. But in the past, in recent past, more big trades have been going down. Here's some five trades that have gone down already this season, and they've all paid off big time just this season. Marcus Peters traded from the Rams to the Ravens last week. What does he do? He has a pick six. Jalen Ramsey traded from the Jaguars to the Rams. He forces a fumble last week. Minka Fitzpatrick, remember, maybe we were in on him, traded from the Dolphins to the Steelers. He was great in his debut in Pittsburgh. Jadeveon Clowney from the Texans to the Seahawks. He's been great on their pass rush, making their defense not the Legion of Boom, but at least something to contend with. And then the Texans trading with the Dolphins, bringing in Kenny Stills, who's now going to be their number two possibly with Fuller hurt, and then Laremy Tunsil, who has improved that offensive line. These teams are making trades, and they're more impactful than they have been in the past. So trades are more likely, it seems, to happen, and that's why the NFL trade deadline, while still not at the level of the MLB or NBA trade deadline, mm-hmm. it's definitely something to keep your eye on. And we've already seen two trades this week, three, well, with the Detroit-Seattle trade that Lions fans don't quite understand. They trade one of their safeties to the Seahawks, and the Lions are upset about that.
What I don't understand, though, I mean, why this hasn't happened in the past. MLB, we talk about, hey, are the Brewers going to be sellers or buyers? Are the Bucks going to be sellers or buyers at the trading deadline? Now we're seeing in the NFL more teams being sellers. Atlanta being a seller with selling off Sanu. Denver Broncos at the 2-5 and a horrible performance on Thursday Night Football last week against the Chiefs. And Sanders had some nice numbers in that game in garbage time. You know, Denver's become a seller. So teams are realizing, okay, we're not going to compete. So we might as well trade our expiring contracts for some draft picks and look ahead to next season. That's what Elway thought. Last week, the word was that Sanders wasn't available. And they went out there and lost to the Chiefs, and now he's kind of changed his tune when somebody threw a third and a fourth round pick at him.
Yeah, and so that trade again, Emmanuel Sanders to the Niners for a third and a fourth round pick. A fifth round pick comes with Sanders in that deal. We put up on Twitter during the Ryan Horvath show, We put up on the 5 o'clock show with Ryan Horvath. Are the Packers deep enough at the wide receiver position, or do they need to upgrade to compete for a Super Bowl? And one tweet that came in here was, upgrade, can't trust anyone not named Davante Adams. Do you feel like you can't trust any of these receivers besides Davante Adams?
Well, because Devontae's the proven guy. He's the one who's played in big moments so far. And, yeah, he's really the only guy you can count on. He's by far and away their best receivers. I mean, there's a big drop-off between Devontae and whoever you want to claim as number two, whether it's MVS or Geronimo Allison. He is he's their guy. Lazard is not there yet, even though he had the big game 2 weeks ago and he had a nice catch after a drop this past Sunday. Yeah, Devontae is the only guy you could really, really trust. That's why they need another number two guy in there.
I don't trust Geronimo Allison at all.
Too many drops.
I don't want to be too hard on this guy.
And MVS,
I know he caught a touchdown. MVS, I don't know if they don't trust him. They only use him deep. And I know that this touchdown that he had was a shorter route that he then extended, but I would have thought that Marquez Valdes-Scantling with Devontae hurt, I would have thought he would become his primary, Rodgers' primary target. Seven targets, eight targets, nine targets. They're barely looking at him.
It reminds me of the days when the Packers just had Sterling Sharp, and Sharp was the star receiver. He's one of the best receivers in the league, but they really never had a complimentary receiver next to Sharp, and then his career ended short in 1995. But, I see Devontae, and then there's a huge drop-off between Devontae at wide receiver and everybody else.
Mr. Wilson tweets in and said, if you traded for a receiver, who would you cut? The team has bigger needs. No, the receiver group is not good enough that everybody is safe.
Yeah.
You'd cut Darius Shepherd.
Without a doubt.
You can cut, I know Alan Lazard had a nice game. Cut him.
No, no, no. It wouldn't be Lazard. They wouldn't cut him. It'd be Shepard.
Cut Kumerow.
Well, I think they'd keep him. Shepard would be the guy.
Yeah, you cut Darius Shepard.
Shepard would be the guy.
That's the answer.
Unless you I don't know, you got how many receivers you're going to keep. But I would think Shepard would be the guy. I mean, he's the guy definitely you can't trust.
It's like, here's the parallel. If the Packers get A.J. Green, don't say, well, then who are you gonna cut between Kumerow and Lazard and Allison? That's like saying, well, if the Brewers got Gerrit Cole, who are you going to cut between Freddie Peralta, Corbin Burns? Figure it out.
Yeah.
You're getting A.J. Green. Cole.
Everybody else moves down a notch.
You worry about that after you get the guy.
Yeah.
I see that a lot from people. Well, if you go trade for Manny Machado, if you go trade for Paul George, who are you going to cut?
Yeah.
The guy that's the worst on your team.
Yeah. No, no, no.
It's not that hard.
You find room for great players.
You cut Darius Shepard. It should have probably been cut 2 weeks ago.
And the idea is you're trying to get better. You're trying to get your team better. And
who would you cut?
A.J. Green and Emmanuel Sanders and Sanu. Those are three guys right there who make – if you add them to the Packers, I mean, that's just another weapon for Rodgers. It makes you better. And those three guys immediately better than anybody the Packers have other than Davante Adams.
I mean, I would have traded a first for A.J. Green. I would have traded that second for Sanu and then give up a third and a fourth for Emmanuel Sanders. I would have done all that. I would have traded the second, third, fourth and get those three guys. And then you know how good this receiving core is? You tell me the Packers aren't going to the Super Bowl with a receiving core of A.J. Green, Davante Adams, Mohamed Sanu, and Emmanuel Sanders.
Well, if you made that trade, we wouldn't have to worry about a draft show next year.
Yeah, and that would be a double bonus because then we'd get a Friday night off next
year. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Somebody call Gutekunst. Trade all your draft picks.
Trade all your draft picks.
So we can have a free weekend in April here on The Fan. It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Always looking ahead. I like that about you, Freems.
Well, hey, remember that year that New Orleans with Mike Ditka?
Yeah.
He traded the house.
Oh, that would have been great.
He traded everybody. Minnesota, when they made the move for Herschel Walker, they traded Herschel Walker, and they got a ton of draft picks from Dallas. And that was back in the 90s, and that ruined the Vikings for a little bit, and that helped, when the Vikings got Herschel Walker, it was a horrible trade for the Vikings, and it ruined them for a little bit, and it helped build up the Dallas Cowboys.
It's Chuck and Winkler.
The Vikings didn't have a first-round draft pick for a while.
Served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. The Vikings, by the way, are they a top-five team in the NFL? Someone that we're going to talk to later in the show, Michael Lombardi, thinks that they are as of this point. We're going to look at our worst in five power rankings. We'll give you the worst team in the league as well as our five best. We'll do that with you guys. Where do the Packers rank? Where do the Vikings rank? And where do the Niners rank at undefeated 6-0? Nobody is, I don't think, taking the Niners seriously. We'll give you a reason why they should. These teams that start 6-0 usually go on to do pretty good things. It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Ryan Horvath here as well. 720, Michael Lombardi, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, will join us. I'm very excited to talk to Mike. We've had him on the show before, and he's very complimentary of the Packers, so that's always a good thing. But he's been writing articles, and he's got a podcast on the Radio.com app, the GM Shuffle, where he is completely destroying Mitch Trubisky to the point where he says the Bears need to move on from him immediately, like today.
Well,
like trade for Cam Newton, trade for Nick Foles is what he laid out a scenario of. So we'll talk to him about that. But he thinks that Mitch Trubisky is not worth redeeming, and they've got to move on now. So as fun as it is to talk Packers, it's also fun to talk about the Bears mess. We'll do that with Mike at 7:20.
But that's just plain crazy, trading for a starting quarterback. Not a backup, but a starting quarterback, and retooling everything in the middle of the season? I mean, getting a wide receiver, a running back, a defensive back, that's one thing. But no team is going to be trading for a starting quarterback unless Trubisky, I mean, they planned their whole offseason and everything for him. That's a move they'd have to make in the offseason, but they're not going to be addressing that now.
I don't know, man. I do not know. It's going to be interesting to see.
I don't remember anybody, and somewhat refreshed my memory. Has anybody ever traded for a starting quarterback in the middle of the season, dump the guy and say, we're going to go with a Cam Newton, or we're going to go with one of these other guys who are on bad football teams?
It would be pretty wild. You never know. We'll talk to Michael Lombardi about that and the Packers coming up at 7:20. These are our power rankings. We do the worst and five. So we tell you the worst team in the league and then the five best teams in the league. I'll start with the worst team. I think the sexy picks or the obvious picks could be the Dolphins and the Redskins are known as the top two worst teams. I think don't forget about the Falcons. They are terrible. I'm going to go with the 0-7 Bengals. They don't show any signs of getting better. Joe Mixon, it looks lost in that offense somehow. Andy Dalton is bad. They should bench him. They should look to move on. Zach Taylor has no idea what he's doing as a head coach. They are not good. That is a bad football team. I'm going to put them as my worst team in the league, Frank.
Well, they don't have talent. So I'm going to cut Taylor a little tack, a little slant there. By the way, I'm not going to be here Friday, so I already like the Rams against Cincinnati coming up on Sunday in England.
Oh, for your picks?
Yeah, I do. I like
that. Are you going to be able to call in?
Yeah, I can do that.
You got to call in.
Yeah, I can do that. I'll do that definitely.
And then you can say that you were technically here so you don't have to take the personal.
You know what? You're right. I don't. Yeah. I don't take
I didn't take
day.
A vacation day for Friday.
And Monday when you're in Kansas City, you're going to join us for a little bit. So I guess that's not
I'm
a vacation
I'm not taking
day.
A day off for that.
There you go. Okay. Yeah.
I think I'm on assignment.
You're going to the game. Miami.
My kid made me late today. I'm not taking a day off for that.
No. You're not going to duck 10 minutes off your time card there. Miami's the worst team to me. I'm going to go Miami. The Jets, after that performance on Monday night against New England, I know they're playing the Patriots, but the Jets were terrible, and Darnold was bad. I'm going to go Miami, the Jets, and then Cincinnati from 32, 31, and 30.
So you've got Miami as the worst team?
Yeah, I still think they're the worst.
Horvat?
The worst team, I'm going to go with Washington, only because, like, Miami has a plan. They're trying to tank for Tua. Washington got their starting quarterback, and nobody actually wants that starting quarterback on the coaching staff. They were actually trying to win 9-10 games this year, and they're going to probably go 3-13. So I think they're the worst team, because at least the other bad teams have a plan to be bad. Although I agree with Freems, the Jets' performance on Monday night and Sam Darnold being mic'd up saying that he sees ghosts. That was a pretty bad look for both
That'll
your franchise
stay with forever, yeah. Which is unfortunate.
And Adam Gase was pissed off. Did you guys hear his comments on that? How is our franchise quarterback mic'd up like that? Mm-hmm. And I agree with him. Like now you kind of know you could get in Sam Darnold's head. Like that's the one thing that as a starting quarterback you do not want to hear.
Hey, just run up to him and you say boo.
Yeah, that's a guy who the Jets just can't. They cannot get out of their own way. They cannot make that team any better.
No. I thought they were going to be better, but.
I thought they were going to be maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I thought they were going to start turning things around a little bit. But, and Washington is going to be in for. I mean, that's going to be another U.S. Bank ass whipping on Thursday night when Washington is at Minnesota. Minnesota's going to. That
Case
get ugly.
Keenum revenge game, though, Chuck?
that could get ugly.
Case Keenum revenge. Adam Gase, by the way. On Sam Darnold.
You know, when we go back and look at this, he's not going to be happy. He probably was feeling like guys were coming free when they might not have been. It's tough. That's what playing against these guys. If you don't pick some of this stuff up early, they're going to keep bringing it, and they're going to find different ways to bring it. And then it's just going to get bad from there, which it did.
Remember, he was somebody that we were talking about to be the Packers head coach, Adam Gase. I don't think anybody...
I actually like Adam Gase. I think he's in a crappy situation. But yeah, I'd rather have Matt LaFleur, obviously, now.
I mean, Gase has got a little bit more attitude than LaFleur has shown, but...
he's a goofy dude.
Gase won't be in New York long if that continues to go downward.
The Jets' offense is averaging 10.5 points a game.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Luke Falk was their quarterback.
Yeah. Still. And with Darnold, another young quarterback, they're going to have to grow with a little bit. That's the guy they've chosen.
All right, as far as our best teams, we spent enough time talking about teams that suck.
Yeah.
The best teams in the league, I'm going to stay with the New England Patriots at number one. I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers at number two. I do give credit to teams that are undefeated. The Saints, I still think, are the third best team. I will put the Packers at four. And then I'm going to put, you've got the 5-2 Vikings. You've got the 5-2 Seahawks. You've got the 5-2 Chiefs, the 5-1 Bills. I like the 5-2 Ravens. I think Lamar Jackson is terrific. I think they've got a good team around him. just made a trade defensively. I like the Ravens at number five. So I'll go Patriots, Niners, Saints, Packers, and Ravens. Horvat, did I steal your thunder a little bit?
Like you have, I'll just go next because you pretty much did. I thought I was going to be the only one to put the Ravens in my top five. I just love what Lamar Jackson's doing because he could drop back and he could play quarterback. He could play the quarterback position and throw the ball downfield, and he could beat you with his legs. That's what he did to Seattle. He rushed for over 100 yards. He outplayed Russell Wilson in Seattle. That's why I put them into my power rankings today, because they went into Seattle and won that game. A place where they pump in fake crowd noise, Jadeveon Clowney, you know, blitzing from the outside, and Lamar Jackson looked like the real deal. I like Mark Ingram, and you mentioned the defense. I like the defense a lot. So I went Ravens 5, 49ers at 4. You know, undefeated, but you barely got past Washington, and the offense didn't look all that great. 3, I go with the Packers. I think they're the best team in the NFC, but I have to put the Saints at 2 just because that was a statement win at Soldier Field, like I said yesterday, without two of your best offensive weapons in Drew Brees and Alvin Kamara, and you still go into Soldier Field and beat up on the Bears and that defense. And then 1, I have to go with the Patriots. People keep complaining about the Patriots, saying, well, they haven't played anybody. But yeah, you just won the Super Bowl last year, and you haven't lost since, so they continue to be number 1 on my list.
Frames.
Well, I thought Seattle was a top five team, and then they lost by double digits at home, 30-14 to Baltimore, with the Lamar Jackson game right there. And so Baltimore moves into the fifth spot for me. Baltimore is 5. I'm going to put the 49ers at 4. I got the Saints at 3. They're 5-0 without Drew Brees. Green Bay at number 2, and New England. So I got a kind of heavy, and they got 3 NFC teams, 2 AFC teams, with an AFC team, the Patriots, obviously. No one can unseat those guys right now.
But in that group between the Ravens and the Seahawks and the Vikings and the Bills, we like the Ravens, I think, collectively as a show out of those teams. The Vikings, as we mentioned, Michael Lombardi, he'll join us at 7:20, radio.com, Sports NFL Insider. His latest article, he has the Patriots and then the Niners and then the Saints and then the Packers. And then he did put the Vikings as his fifth best team. So that one is going to be interesting to see them again tomorrow night against Washington. They should have no problem at home with that, but we'll see. I don't think people are giving enough credit to the 6-0 San Francisco 49ers. They are 6-0. I mean, there's got to be something said for that. I know that the schedule has not been great, and they've got the Panthers coming up and the Cardinals, two teams that are above 500, but even if they beat them, there's still going to be some questions. Here's a look at the last six teams to start 6-0, because 6-0 does not assure you anything. The 2003 Vikings, they started 6-0. You know what happened to that team, the 2003 Vikings?
Yes, lost a playoff spot in the last game of the season to the Green Bay Packers after losing in Arizona.
That's right.
That's the Tyrone Poole game.
Nate Poole.
Close.
Nate Poole. Who's Tyrone Poole?
Tyrone Poole.
There is a Tyrone Poole.
Yeah, there was a defensive back.
Defensive back.
No, there's
defensive
like 12 back. Tyrone Pools.
There was a defensive back who played in the NFL, Tyrone Poole.
Oh, yeah, Panthers.
Nate Poole. Because Nate Poole came with the Green Bay and they gave him the key to the city.
Panthers and Patriots. Oh, he won a couple of Super Bowls with New England, of course.
Yeah.
Tyrone Poole.
Yeah.
All right, good to look back at him. LaGrange, Georgia's very own Tyrone Poole. The 2004 Patriots started 6-0. They won the Super Bowl. Tom Brady was 27 that year. Jimmy Garoppolo, 28 right now, if you want to look for a parallel. You know who else was 6-0 to start? The Vikings again in 2009. Do you know what happened to the 2009 Vikings?
2009 Vikings.
Is that Christian Ponder, Joe Webb Vikings? I can't remember.
There's another quarterback that we're very familiar with.
Oh, that was the Favre.
That was the Favre.
And they got beat in New Orleans in the NFC Championship game.
They did. They started 6-0.
They were good, though.
The 2009 Broncos were also 6-0.
That's Josh McDaniels.
They went 8-8.
Yeah, but they started 6-0. And remember, one of those victories, McDaniels beat New England.
Yep.
And McDaniels, remember him pumping his fist on the field after the game, and the crowd was all riled up there at Mile High. Yeah, they came back, and then he lost his job.
And then they finished 2-8 on the season. Yeah.
But didn't they make the playoffs? Is that the Tebow year? Now I'm confused.
That wasn't McDaniels.
Yeah, someone can look it up.
I'll look it up. Sorry, I probably should do my research on that one.
2009 Broncos, they finished 8-8. The 2013 Broncos also started 6-0. They reached the Super Bowl that season. Mm-hmm. And then the 2015 Packers started 6-0 before Michael Cohen wrote an article on LaTroy Guyon and ruined the season.
Oh, come on.
I'm not saying that's what happened.
Yeah, well, they started 6-0.
Packer fans have decided that's what happened.
They were 6-0, and then they went to Denver for a Sunday night game, and they got destroyed. And things were never the same after
they
that.
They had a bye week. Didn't they lose 3 after the bye?
Yeah, but that Sunday night game, or it was a Sunday night game. It was right around Halloween, and things were looking good for the Packers. And I remember sitting down to watch that game that night, and they looked terrible at Denver. And of course, that season ended up with the playoff loss in Arizona, I want to say.
And we'll see just what the Niners look like again. Big one brewing next month between the Niners and the Packers. So those are teams that have started 6-0. It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins. You can tweet us your top five at 105.7 FM The Fan. You can also give us a shout, 799-1250. Andy's in Heartland. Andy, what's going on this morning?
Hi, Andy.
Good morning, fellas. Hey, really quick, just a couple things, and then I'll hang up. I think the Packers really need to get defensive help to stop the run if they're going to look for players on teams that are going down. So, because, I mean, I think the offense is fine the way it is, because, like you guys said, we lost Sterling Sharp with Favre, and then that made Favre a better quarterback because he just wasn't, you know, keying in on one guy. But as far as, I don't know if you guys remember this one, but Aaron Rodgers at a press conference, I think, a couple, 3 years ago, said he was seeing ghosts.
Yeah, he said that. He felt spooked.
Yeah.
Well, no, he said he saw ghosts, though. He did say that. He says, maybe I was seeing ghosts in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he has said it, too. But, I mean, that's the way Sam Darnold said it.
Yeah, as far as stopping the run, the Packers definitely got to get better in that area. I think they got the talent on the defense to be better against that. You know, their front, I think the Packer front is very good. But, yeah, they have not done a good job. You know, they had another runner run for over 100 yards against them this past week, but they have not done a good job stopping a run for whatever reason. Each one of these games, that's been the common downfall. The defense is giving up not only a big splash play, but the running game. Teams have been able to run on the Packers.
The game that Andy is talking about, too, that was the game he was hurt that season, came back and played Carolina. And there's a GIF on the internet where he's got the Microsoft Surface and he spikes it on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That's from that game where he says, I don't know what it was. I got scared. I don't know what it was.
That was something scared 2017?
Me. Yeah, something yeah. scared me. I don't know yeah. what it was. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Ryan Horvath here as well. A good time in the world of sports. You've got the World Series. You've got the NBA kicking off. We got a really interesting Bucks question coming up that we're going to do at 8 o'clock. Andy Herman, who is a really good Packer guy we've had on the show, threw out a Bucks question last night. At 8 o'clock, would you rather guarantee a championship this season or Giannis here forever? 8 o'clock. We'll do that. Really good. Michael Lombardi, 720. We'll talk some green and gold. We'll go inside that locker room. Coming up as well, it's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.